Hello and welcome to the Spotlight Podcast. On today's episode, we're talking accents, an important skill that we should practice more and have in our repertoire as actors. And we're joined today by dialect and voice coach Rebecca Gorsnell. Rebecca has worked with actors on The Crown, the Maxine Peake-led production of A Streetcar Named Desire, and has also worked at Royal Central School of Speech and Drama, the Royal Welsh College, and more. Having studied at Northwestern and Royal Central, it's safe to say she knows her stuff. So welcome, Rebecca, to the Spotlight Podcast.
Hi, nice to be here.
So let's start with the basics of vocal coaching. Where would you start with a warm-up?
Well, I think that a full vocal warm-up is super important with accent work, because I think we often think of accents as only being the sound changes, right? And so we just launch right into just the sound changes. But really, an accent lives within the whole voice, and that voice is being produced by the whole body. So I think when we start with any warm-up, we're looking at going first with release and alignment, then to breath, then to the voice, then to resonance, and then lastly, articulation. So then that's when we start getting into the accent work. So in terms of leading a vocal warm-up, I think the best thing to do is start just by noticing the distance between your head and the top of the ceiling, which I just sat up much straighter, and then also the distance between your shoulder and the wall to your right, if it's your right shoulder, and the distance between your left shoulder and the left wall, and then also noticing the floor beneath your feet. Oftentimes we're a little off balance, so just coming back into balance. And then when we move on to breath, I think it's about releasing the breath fully so that then that accent can come in and be powered by the breath. So in that sense, allowing the breath to move through different areas. First, if you feel the breath in your chest, and then you let your breath come down into the sides of your ribs and your back, and then into your belly. And then we open it out onto voice. So I think this can be really gentle at first. We start with a hum. And stick within pitch range that is easy for you. And then we can open that up into an NG sound. As in sing. So again, stick with pitches that are really easy at first. And then open that out fully into an ah. And then finally, we want to do, before we get into the accent work, we want to do some resonance, pitch variety. A lot of times we're only using a very small range of our pitch. So we can do that on a, and we can do those fun sirens like little kids do. So and, I mean, honestly, you could do that all day. But then at the very end, we want to get to articulation. So we wake up the lips and we stretch out the tongue. I'm just putting my tongue on the bottom teeth and then rolling it out very gently. And we want the tongue to release. And then I think lastly, it's really important for accent work to go straight into those sounds that are the toughest for you. So tongue twisters, for instance. And perhaps if it was an American accent and I'm really focusing on that hard R, I would go straight for round the rugged rock, the ragged rascal ran. So I get those really hard R's in there right away.
I hope everyone's been trying that along with us here. And how do you first start working with actors on set who are trying to perfect a new accent? What would you first try?
I think that the first thing that we do with any accent work is we find a sample of a speaker that could work for that character and for that actor. And that becomes the basis of everything else. And then from there, I think there are a few different parts. We look at oral posture. Oral posture meaning the way that speaker is holding their mouth. And that's really going to affect the entire sound of the accent. If the speaker's a bit more rounded, obviously that's not my accent, but it goes a much different direction. And if they're a lot more spread, obviously that's a bit more my accent. Spread with the lips, I mean. So I think finding that oral posture is extremely key. Then the second thing that we go to is all of the sound changes. and we really drill before we even get on set, hopefully. Obviously, sometimes we're just thrown on there. But we really drill all of the sound changes from the actor's original accent into the new accent. So obviously everyone's sound changes might be a little bit different. And then the last thing that we do is drill those intonation patterns. Because I think that everything else can be perfect, and then the minute it goes a different intonation pattern, then all of a sudden, we're on a different continent. So it's really important to hone in those intonation patterns. And then lastly, we apply all of that to the text. And the text is the most important thing, and that's what they're going to be performing in, so it's important to get the text set. I love taking it a step further, if we have time, and we get into doing free speech, which I think can be really scary, but it makes everything else, the text work, seem so easy. So if you can make that jump to actually speaking in the accent just in a conversation, you have it down 100%.
So sort of playing around and just being really comfortable with that accent, that actors can do it when they're not filming and not practicing.
Exactly. So sometimes we go for a walk and the actor has a conversation with me in the accent. And it's just a chance to... I think it's scary because there's this element of, wow, I could fail at this. Mm-hmm. But once the screws start tightening up and the accent sounds really amazing in spoken speech, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, yeah, they sound brilliant with text. And it becomes so easy to act in it.
Getting so comfortable with it. I heard that about, I know Riz Ahmed, when he went to LA, said he was going into auditions with an American accent because he went there kind of as an unknown and... no one knew otherwise. And of course, he's since been in sort of Nightcrawler and A Night Of. And even though I know he's English, he completely sells you on his American accent. You wouldn't know otherwise. And the casting directors don't either, which is really, really good.
Yeah. And I think that having for film and television, especially in this country, and if you're looking to be cast in the US, having a general American accent is so important. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I cannot pronounce my words this morning, specifically a general American accent that can fool the casting directors.
Yeah.
I think it has to be that good.
Yeah.
Which is tricky.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to keep it up, because then I think you can go in the character, can't you? And you've got the accent straight away. You're just doing it from the moment you walk in the door.
Yeah. It's also easier being in the country, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
If the actors living in the US and they're British, but they're surrounded by American speakers all the time, mm-hmm. I find that just simple immersion is going to totally free up any kind of inhibitions. And it's just the fact that you've been hearing it the whole time, that your mind has a reference to it, and it becomes much easier.
Yeah. So what accents should actors have on hand? So we say a general American accent.
I think a general American accent, yeah, but I don't think that's number one. I think number one definitely is they need, and this is a huge mistake that lots of actors make, they need to have the accent that is their casting type mm-hmm. on hand. A lot of times actors, they go to drama school, they're trained in perhaps RP, maybe a general American, and they say, great, that's kind of, those are the two accents I need.
Yeah.
But then they realize that they do not look like they're going to be cast as either RP or general American mm-hmm. characters. So I think, first of all, it's super important, yeah, that you have your own casting type on hand as an accent. Number two, I think that RP in this country is still important. And I know that it sounds a bit wide, a bit middle class, but it is still something that's highly requested and necessary. Mm-hmm. But I think on top of that, there needs to be this ability to kind of turn the dials up and down on an RP. So we're going to be really super posh and maybe even Downton Abbey-esque old, or are we going to be more Mike Bartlett play mm-hmm. modern? Mm-hmm. So the ability to turn the dials. Then I think three is general American. And if you're going to do a general American, do it to the point where you can fool an American casting director.
Yeah.
It is a very specific accent, and it's tough, but it can open up an entire new world in terms of casting mm-hmm. possibilities. And then I think the fourth one is the actor's own native regional accent. Mm-hmm. There was a time, obviously, where people were just trained out of their accent and then went on their merry way the rest mm-hmm. of their life speaking only in RP. But now I think it's super important for commercials, adverts, voiceover, mm-hmm. and for more and more for television as well, to actually be able to go back to your own regional accent.
Yeah.
It's super marketable.
So would you say if an actor has quite a particularly potentially difficult to understand accent, like a really thick Northern Irish or really thick Scottish accent, should they dial that down a bit when going into an audition, or go in with it as it is, because it might be that that brings something to the character that there hasn't been thought of before?
Well, I think with any accent can be intelligible. We have this notion in our head that certain accents are much more difficult to understand. But I think that you can be intelligible in any accent. And you can be certainly very unintelligible in an RP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you're going to stick with your regional accent, that you need to also bring in a level of intelligibility to that. So perhaps finishing the ends of words. But again, that doesn't necessarily need to make it go into this RP thing. I think that any accent can be intelligible.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what we were saying before about knowing your casting type, that's a really interesting one to hit upon, because we do meet quite a few actors here who they come to us and they say they want to be able to do a whole range. They want to be able to do comedy. They want to be able to do everything. And straight off the bat, and as much as that's really exciting and that's totally understandable, I think sometimes you look at someone and think, just know your casting type and play to that and start there. Mm. Don't try and run before you can walk. Just go with what we know you're going to be cast as, because you can look at someone quite often and know what they're going to be cast as, and going forward with a strong RP isn't going to work in their favour.
Yeah, and I think that's about getting advice. Get advice from your colleagues in terms of fellow actors. Get advice in terms of casting directors. Keep a list of the types of auditions that you're continually going up for and the roles that you're going up for, because that's going to give you a really clear sense about your casting type. But do ask other people. Sometimes other people do know better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we can't see in ourselves that, oh, I'm definitely this, but everyone else sees it. So definitely get advice from other people.
Yeah, definitely objectively as well. Not always necessarily your close friends, because people who won't know you as an actor maybe might be able to, or know the industry, would be able to see something that, you know, your friends might not tell you or might not know themselves about your show role or your accent, for example.
Certainly. Well, I think our friends already kind of categorize us as who we are.
Yeah,
they know you.
True.
But someone might on the street say, hey, you actually look very Eastern European, perhaps you want to go with something more along that lines.
Yeah,
even if your friends know you as someone from Lancashire.
I guess that's where your agent comes in.
Yes. But again, you can be your own advocate in keeping track of the auditions that you're going to.
Absolutely.
And getting sent to.
So how can actors sort of have these accents ready? What can they do, like tips and tricks at home to make sure they've got something up their sleeve?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is a lot of times there's not time.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue of time. There's so many times, so much. I hear all the time, I'm talking about time, of someone getting a script the night before, and then they say, hey, you need to show up tomorrow with a perfect Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, crap, I have under 24 hours to get this ready.
Yeah.
So if you have time, I think your biggest tip is to find a speech sample of that speaker and listen to it like it is your favorite song in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And just absorb. So I do think, like I was saying before about actors who live in the U.S. and then all of a sudden their American accent gets amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just exposure, right? So get that Scottish accent that you know that you're going to have to do in 2 months and start absorbing. I think that there's nothing wrong with working with a professional coach. And I know that we get expensive, but even 1 hour can send you on in a direction that then you can do 10 hours at home easily of practice work, because you know everything that you need to work out.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no time, and you're going, wow, I don't know how to do this accent, I need to do it by tomorrow, I would say find 3, and please, only 3, sound changes from the new accent from your accent.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, okay, this accent pronounces all of its R's, so I need to make sure that every R is pronounced. Great. Okay, this accent... you know, stresses, let's say Northern Irish, stresses on a downbeat. So as opposed to going up when I'm stressing, I'm going to stress down. So, okay, I'm going to change that. So I think if you're going to say, I'm going to identify three things, and I'm going to make those three things perfect, mm-hmm. because there's a tendency to fall down the accent rabbit hole, and then you realize that there are so many things that you need to change, and instead, I think, just narrow the focus. Yeah.
So that's really interesting. In terms of going into that audition then with the accent, that it may require that, or maybe that an actor thinks this is what this character should have. But we're saying sort of it doesn't have to be completely perfect. If we can just get it kind of even rough and ready enough to be able to like, look, I'm believable in this accent. And then obviously, and if you go forward and get the role, you can it sharpen it up later. But is it better to go in there just sort of with the confidence of like, this is definitely good enough? Or if you're just not totally confident of it being 100% spot on, should you just leave it and just be like, do you know what? I know you're requiring a Scottish accent. I'm just going to do it in mine for now. And then maybe they can try it later.
I think you need to know yourself. I think that it's always good to follow what the casting director has written, because they've obviously written that for a reason. But at the end of the day, the acting is so much more important than the accent. Mm-hmm. And the accent should only complement a performance. It shouldn't take over a performance and take it hostage.
Yeah.
So if you really feel that the accent is going to totally mess you up, then I would say just go in and act and forget about the accent. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, yeah, I think that an accent can take a performance completely hostage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say accent is less important than the acting. And I think that's true on professional shows as well.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's this push of we have to get this accent right.
Yeah.
And I think that there at times directors, producers, actors can step back and say, okay, but how perfect does it need to be? Mm-hmm. And do I need to have an American accent, or can we change something and perhaps this could take place in England?
Yeah. You may be able to hear the authenticity of us being in the spotlight industry at the moment. There appears to be a child's casting outside and we're getting quite a lot of screaming babies. But now you know that we're really doing this at Spotlight in the edit suite at the end of the corridor.
Well, they're very vocally free. They're very vocally free. So I think that any actor can learn from children that screaming is okay. Maybe not before, you know, an adult casting, because I think that's maybe less cute to the casting directors. But
they're just going through their vocal warm-up right now. That's what you're hearing. Getting those screams really.
What's interesting is I think that child could do that all day and there would be no soreness in the voice at the end of the day. Versus us, not so much.
Yeah. Just very, very free. So could you guide us through how to prepare a standard American accent, which perhaps that baby doesn't have in the repertoire?
Yeah, sure. So I'm assuming I'm going British to American.
Yeah, we'll try that.
I think that the three things that we want to look at is, number one, you see an R, you say an R. And please do not add in any new R's, which is a tendency for British speakers to do. So like in the phrase pizza and chips, there is no R written in the phrase pizza and chips, and yet there's a tendency to make it pizza and chips, with a little baby R between pizza and chips. Mm-hmm. So if there's no R written, do not add an R. And then if there is an R, definitely say the R. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I think is super important is that there's a tendency for it to go really nasal. But you can hear that I don't kind of live up here in my accent. Mm-hmm. So I'm not actually nasal. What it is oral twang. So it's about that sound living in the very back of the mouth. And we think of it as in if we go nyang, 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 or like a duck quack, 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 quack. It lives right in the back of the mouth. It doesn't quite live in the nose. So that's where the sound wants to live. And I think that's going to take it out of that stereotypical kind of nasal thing. And then the last thing that I think is super important is the intonation patterns. And in terms of general American, we tend to stress a lot more words. And then also, we don't like to use pitch, we like to use volume. So on words that I'm stressing, you can notice right now that I'm actually getting louder. So versus more of a British sound where you're going to use pitch. So you're going to raise the pitch and lower the pitch to make a point. Americans, we're going to get louder on the words. So I almost think of it as this kind of punch quality to the words, and we kind of punch it and they almost explode out of the mouth as we're speaking because we're getting louder on them.
Mm-hmm. So then going back the other way, so Spotlight is now sort of going international. We have a lot of European members as well. So for anyone who's sort of thinking how they need to perfect their RP when they're going for London auditions, they're going the other way. Where do they start with an RP accent?
So there are two huge hurdles going from possibly romantic language or a language from Europe coming into English. The first thing, again, we cannot stress it enough, and I don't mean that to be a pun, is the intonation. Mm-hmm. And what's tough about English is that English is a stress-timed language, meaning that each syllable takes different amount of time to say. We can think of that as the Shakespeare iambic pentameter, di-dum, 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 di-dum. Versus something like French or Spanish, typically the syllables are of equal length. Mm-hmm. So that can be quite tricky to get that kind of iambic pentameter, di-dum, 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 di-dum. And the fact that we often make words really short. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we wouldn't say the word for, F-O-R. It sort of reduces to F. So I think that that's A, number one, the probably the biggest hurdle is finding that intonation pattern. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that's tough going from primarily romantic language, but any language, is the fact that we have especially RP, but English in general, has so many vowel sounds. And we have so many vowel sounds that are quite close together. We differentiate between E and I. We differentiate between A and A. We differentiate between A and O. We differentiate between U and U. I mean, they're basically the same thing, but to our ears, they're completely different. Mm-hmm. And that can mean the difference between saying food and food, which can be, or I mean, the one that we all laugh at is sheet and shit, or beach and bitch. I mean, it's something that is so important to our language. So I think for the Euro speakers, it's about figuring out those tiny sound changes, mm-hmm. and then also figuring out what exactly is happening muscularly in the mouth and nailing that.
Yeah,
because it's a dead giveaway for I just think of an Italian man that I worked with recently, and we finally found that ih sound, like in kit, and it was a miracle, and all of a sudden he sounded British. Mm-hmm. It was crazy, and it was one little sound. So I think that is super important, is nailing the vowels.
Yeah. So would you say that like posture affects the enunciation as well? And is it all just about the listening to an accent? Or would you say, like you just said about the lip reading and looking at how the mouth is moving around each of the vowel sounds, is that quite important as well?
Well, I think if I think of posture as an oral posture, so basically I'm thinking between kind of the nose and the throat, mm-hmm. and this kind of mouth area. So if I think of oral posture, that definitely affects accent and sound. My accent, my lips like to spread a little bit. My tongue likes to flatten a little bit. And so it just makes sense that I'm not going to say thought. I'm going to say thought, mm-hmm. just because of the way that my mouth likes to live.
Yeah.
So I think that all of the sounds come out of oral posture, certainly. And I find that oral posture is often forgotten in an accent.
Yeah,
and definitely. It can be the glue that holds an accent together. Mm-hmm. I think a little tip for actors with accents is don't relax out of the oral posture. A lot of times we're rocking the accent, mm-hmm. we're speaking in the accent, we've got the oral posture down, and then another person speaks and we just go, okay, never mind, with the oral posture. So keeping the oral posture is super important, because all of the sound changes come out of that.
Yeah. So would you say that when an actor sort of is watching a film or a TV show, they can definitely look at the way the mouth is moving to learn from that? Or is that much harder to learn that way?
I think everyone learns in a different way. And I think that every actor needs to figure out how they best learn accents. Mm-hmm. Some people are completely fine listening and mimicking, and they're good to go. But I think that there is something to be said. I love finding speech samples on YouTube and really analyzing the mouth. And yeah. For me, that's something that clicks in. Mm-hmm. So I think that both can be super helpful. And it's just about what gets us to the end goal line, kind of. And that's going to be whatever gets you there is key.
That's a great tip. So when you sort of connect the voice to the character development, would you say you start with the voice first? Like, how does this character speak? How regionally specific is their accent? Where are they from? What's their background been? Because not everyone obviously has just lived in one place their whole life and that's it, and that's their Finnish accent. So would you say that's sort of something to start at the very beginning of sort of character development work when you're thinking about a role?
Well, certainly when choosing a sample, when choosing any accent, it's a matter of me reading the script very carefully and figuring out who exactly these characters are and what that character's accent would be. So yeah, I think that the accent should always reflect what is written. Mm-hmm. In terms of character development, I don't think that I kind of, besides saying this is the character and they would definitely be from here because and sound like this because they're working class, they're this ethnicity, they're from this area, and that's the speaker. Besides that, in terms of character development, I constantly am working with the actor to try and bridge, I say bridge technique and truth. So the truth being that they're performing, they're a full human being person on stage or screen. And then the technique being all of the sound changes, the oral posture, this, that, the other. And I think it's perfectly acceptable for the actor to say, well, my character thinks like this, and hence that is why that character, he's going to punch every word. And then we're sort of bringing character development into the accent. It's easy to fall down the stereotype rabbit hole. So I would say stay away from that. But with a little asterisk of stereotypes are based in truth. So it's about giving you kind of something to hold on to, like a cultural context, I think is super important.
Mm-hmm. And are there some great accents that you can think of that you've seen recently on TV that are really good examples of someone who's nailed it?
Ooh, someone who has nailed it. Well, okay, I worked with William Conacher on The Crown, so a little shout out to him. And I think that Claire Foy's heightened Queen RP is just brilliant. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you're putting me on the spot now.
I was thinking, for my own context, I was thinking more about Kathy Bates in American Horror Story.
Well, that would be one that I think didn't quite nail it.
The series.
The one that comes to mind for me was when she was doing a weird Baltimore thing.
That's the one. Do you mean the freak show one?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Was odd. No one quite knew where that was going.
No, they didn't. they didn't. You know who someone... I'm really excited. I'm so... This is where I get mad that I live in England. There's the new movie with Natalie Portman, Jackie, out.
Yes, yes.
And she has worked so hard to nail this very upper crust, East Coast, Long Island, but lots of money accent of a certain era.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, it sounds really good. But again, I have not seen it because it hasn't been out here yet.
It's a very specific accent to nail, isn't it? That one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was just talking to someone recently, and we noticed that she says Jackie Kennedy is giving a tour of the White House, and she says, I rather like this hall. So we have rather, and then we have hall, like Long Island, this very tough sort of Long Island thing, but we have this very almost British... I rather like this wall.
Very different, yeah.
So we're sentence. Getting a lot of weird influence, kind of East Coast U.S. prep school meets New York, meets money.
Wow, that seems like quite tricky.
1950s and 60s.
Yeah, that's such a skill to be able to combine all those things and make it sound natural.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we were talking earlier about specificity with accent, and I think that it is so important to be super specific with your accent because it can add so much depth and authenticity to the accent. That being said, a lot of times it can be hard to be specific with a standard accent, like an RP or a general American that isn't city specific.
Yeah.
And in that case, I just recommend that the actor find a specific speaker sample and really go off of that, because each speaker of a standardized accent is going to have a slightly different take on that accent. And that, I think, is going to lend some authenticity and credibility to that accent.
Fantastic. I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to the Spotlight Podcast. Thank you, Rebecca, for coming in. This has been great. It's been so useful. And we hope you've enjoyed it at home as well.
Thank you.